Hello. It's an honor to be here. So thank you, Gavin, for the invitation. And I feel like I'm going to take a slightly different perspective. You've heard lots of stats this evening so far, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something that's a bit more personal, a bit more of my journey as a Black cancer researcher and how I've got to the space that I'm at, some of the challenges I've had along the way, and then hopefully, again, you'll see why it's important that we have these discussions. So actually one thing that I'd like to say before I start is, which is really amazing to me and I'm kind of overwhelmed by it, is Professor Ijoma is the very first Black female professor in the UK that I have ever met. And I have worked, as you'll see, I've been in a number of institutions, and she is the very first one I've ever met. And I feel like if that doesn't tell you enough about this evening, here we are. So I'm Sigourney, I'm co-founder of Black in Cancer. And in our organization, we have this big phrase, which is, you can't be what you can't see. It's so hard to envision yourself in a position when you haven't seen somebody who looks like you there. And I often tell this anecdote of speaking to my mom when I was a kid, and she asked me, what do you want to be? I said, oh, I want to be an air hostess because I really love flying. I really love being on planes. And she was like, okay, well, maybe think about something else as well. So here we are, being a cancer researcher. But actually, a couple of years ago, I said to her, oh, do you remember when we had that conversation? She was like, yeah. I was like, well, if I loved flying, why don't you just say, like, oh, why don't you go and be a pilot? I was like, do you have an issue with me being a pilot? She was like, no. So I was like, well, why didn't you suggest that? And she was like, oh, I just didn't think it didn't even enter my head. I hadn't seen anybody who looked like us doing that. So it didn't even enter my mind to suggest it to you. And that's why visibility is so important. It's not necessarily this conscious decision of, oh, well, that person doesn't look like me. It's just so subconscious about the decisions that we make and the paths that we go on in life. So a little bit about my journey. So I started off at the University of Leeds. I did my undergrad in human physiology and kind of took part in lots of things whilst I was there, because they always tell you that it boosts your CV if you do all those things. I volunteered in a lab, I did a paid summer studentship, and then I did a year in industry at a pharmaceutical company, working on a specific technology, which was only done by one other lab in the country. So in the midst of finishing off my undergrad, I went and applied actually to a PhD in that lab and was like, well, I'm the only other person in the country who has used this technology. I have to be stood out in this application process. So I'm sat in the waiting room, waiting for my interview. My interviewer comes out, he calls my name, I stand up, and immediately, just in the blink of an eye, I see him roll his eyes. And as some people may know, it's then challenging in that moment to walk in thinking that you're going to be treated equally. It only takes someone to think and make an assumption about you for that to change the path of your whole career. So as you can probably guess, I didn't get that PhD, and I had a number of other interviews along the way. I then went to work for Pfizer once I'd finished my undergrad because I was still applying for PhDs, hadn't managed to secure anything. Some of the rejections I got were purely based on actually nothing because I was told I was down to the final two. And when I was like, oh, when will I find out? One of them just didn't tell me at all. And I had to email weeks and weeks later asking for a response. The other one said, oh, actually, we picked the other person. I was like, okay, fair enough. Can you give me a reason why? Oh, no, you were super similar. You had the same experience. We just went with the other person. So it's hard to think of reasons why. So then after that, I went and worked for AstraZeneca for 3.5 years as an oncology scientist. And then here I am. Currently doing my PhD at the University of Cambridge. It's my lovely research group with Mathilde, who is in the audience. So thank you for coming, lab friend. But ultimately, the statistics of my journey were 17 applications, 6 interviews, 3 years of, well, 5 years of additional research experience, bearing in mind, actually, when I finished my undergraduate, I had three friends who had exactly the same experience as me. Exactly the same degrees. They all went on to do PhDs straight out of their undergraduate. And I had to get these 5 years of additional research experience to get to where I am today. in 2020, 2021, fewer than 1% of postgrad research students came from a background that was similar to me. And as we've seen, it's just not really acceptable. So in the midst of that, and the midst of the pandemic, I kind of wanted to find my own community. I wanted to find people who looked like me in this space. And that was when I met my co-founder, Dr. Henry Henderson. He was actually a postdoc at the time at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. And we had this conversation about what it meant to be a Black cancer researcher. And we experienced the same thing from different sides of the globe in terms of seeing people who looked like you doing what you were doing to be able to see what you could achieve. We had this realization and it turned into much more than we had possibly imagined. We thought we were just going to make a few tweets on social media. And now here we are, much bigger than we'd imagined. But you know, why do we exist? There's been so much talk about racism within academia, within healthcare, and we wanted to do something to tackle that. So, I mean, I am sponsored by Cancer Research UK for my PhD, and they've been doing some incredible work digging through and looking at funding that they've given to different different PIs, et cetera. And they've seen this trend in that when they look at ethnic minorities versus those who are white applicants, actually, when they apply for fellowships, the unsupported are outlined. So when they've just presented and everything else has been blanked out about their background, the rejection rates are pretty similar. But as you go on to maybe where we start to understand more about who those people are, so whether that's at full application, whether that's an interview, that's where we start to see these bigger rejections and then fewer of those applications are supported in the first place. So as part of what we were doing as an organization, we tried to connect all these Black cancer researchers. So we did it through a number of ways. In the last 2 years, we've had Black and Cancer Week, which is aimed to kind of bring the community together in lots of different ways, not just the research community, but also the patient community and advocacy groups to help to just increase survival within cancer within the Black community. So we're doing lots of work to tackle these things. So one is through education community engagement for our Cancer Awareness Project. But the other side, which I'll kind of talk a bit more about, is the Black and Cancer Pipeline Program. So we have these incredible four co-directors of mentorship and outreach, two based in the UK, two based in the US, because we have an international program. And throughout our program, we've been having seminar series. We fully funded an international mentorship program for 15 US and 15 UK students. And they all had a fully paid 8-week lab placement because we didn't want anybody to be hindered by the fact that they weren't paid for this work. We also had an inaugural Black and Cancer Postdoc Award in 2021. We handed out $225,000 in postdoc award funding to Black cancer researchers and also had an additional $100,000 Distinguished Investigator Award, which went to Dr. Paula Hammond, who's now on the White House Science Committee, which was amazing. So we had all of these different events, basically to just encourage people into this space, to let them know that there's lots of different careers available and that they don't have to leave science to pursue their dreams. So we had a bunch of summer internships at all of these really incredible institutes, not just in the UK, but in the US as well. And our mentorship program went down incredibly. 100% of our mentees and mentors would recommend our program. And as you can see, almost 80% of our students would recommend or say that their overall experience was top notch. And that had the same impact for the mentors and the mentees, which was amazing. And then just this October, we had our inaugural Black in Cancer Conference, as we are expanding faster than we could ever have imagined. So that was in collaboration with Cancer Research UK out at the Science Museum. And we had this incredible room filled with Black cancer researchers, patients, advocates, and allies. And it was truly overwhelming. And the amount of support and the fact that those who gave talks felt like they were able to be themselves. The amount of cheering every time somebody said they were starting their own lab or just the general support in the room was far different to any conference, to be honest, anybody in the room had ever been to, which was really amazing. So we had 250 delegates and talks from all across the cancer spectrum. So patients, advocates, clinicians, et cetera. We gave out another almost $500,000 in postdoc award funding because we really believe in making sure that if we're supporting Black students, we're giving them the money to do the work. And then we also handed out a $300,000 early career investigator award for a new PI to continue the work that she's doing in her lab as well, because we think it's really important that we support all the way across the pipeline. So through mentorship and then awarding these postdocs and then continuing all the way through. So yes, if you're interested in what we do, we're on all forms of social media, et cetera. And thank you for taking time to listen.